Revelation chapter 14. Then I looked, and there was the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. That's right, Jesus. And there was the Lamb, Jesus, standing on Mount Zion. Well, Jesus ascended from Jerusalem, and the angels said, this same Jesus will so come in the same way as you've seen him ascending into heaven. So, he is seen here on Mount Zion, that's the Temple Mount, and with him were 144,000, that's 12 times 12, who have his name and his Father's name written in their foreheads. So what really is the seal, is the sign that we truly are believers, is whether or not we have the name of God, the name of Jesus, their character, their personality written in our minds, in our hearts. Paul puts it another way when he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But as if we do have the Spirit of Christ, we are his. So we all struggle with this question of, well, who is a true Christian? And of course, only God knows the hearts. But how it's really defined is not simply by how you understand some doctrinal points, because you can understand all the right theory, but still not be right with God and not have his name in your heart. And you can maybe misunderstand some of the theory, because maybe you were mistaught or whatever. And yet in your heart, you can still have the name of God and the name of Jesus. So this is the sign of who are really his. And I heard a voice from heaven that sounded like the roaring of rushing waters, maybe like a waterfall, and like the noise of thunder. It sounded also like music made by harpers harping with their harps. The 144,000 stood before the throne, the four living creatures and the elders, that's the 24 elders. They sung a new song, which only they could learn. They were the only ones out of all mankind who had been redeemed. These are they who have kept themselves pure from unclean women, for they are virgins. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. That reminds me of how the women who stood by the cross of Jesus, we're told, they also followed him in Galilee. So they followed him in Galilee, they followed him right up to the cross, and they followed him to his grave, and also after he rose from the grave. And so this has got to characterize all the believers, that wherever we're led by Jesus, even into hard times or good times, we follow behind him. And we keep ourselves pure for him. They have been redeemed out of mankind, and they are the first fruits offered to God and to the Lamb. In their mouth was found no lies. They are without fault. That doesn't mean that they never did anything wrong. They are without fault before the throne of God. And Jude says that we will be faultless in his eyes. Now, it's rather like somebody with a newborn baby. This baby is perfect, they think. Of course the baby is not perfect. But that's what love does. Love counts the person that you're loving as if they're wonderful. And the only thing that matters is that God loves us. And he looks at us as if we're wonderful, as if we're without spot. And yet, the characteristic that is chosen to sum up how they are is that in their mouth there was found no lies. Telling of lies really says a lot about who you are as a person. And so out of all the sort of good, positive spiritual points that could be picked up here as the real characteristic of the righteous, it is not telling lies. And that is what you also read about Jesus. Peter says that in his mouth there was found no untruth. So he was the ultimate truth. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, or the sky, with the message of the gospel, the eternal gospel, to preach to the peoples of the earth, which I've said could be the land promised to Abraham, or it could be the whole planet, to every race, tribe, language, and nation, he said with a loud voice. Fear God and praise his holiness, for the time has come for him to judge all men. Worship him who created heaven, earth, sea, and the springs of water. And a second angel followed afterwards, saying, Fallen, fallen, Babylon the Great has fallen, she who made all peoples drink the strong wine of her immoralities. A third angel followed those first two, saying with a loud voice, whoever worships the beast and its image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand will drink the wine of the wrath of God, which he has poured out without mixing it weaker at all into the cup of his anger. All who are going to do this will be tormented with fire and sulphur before the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment shall arise forever and ever. There is no relief, day nor night, for those who worship the beast and his image, or for those who hold the mark of his name. That doesn't mean that we're literally going to see the wicked tormented forever and ever, because the wages of sin is death. Sure, these people may suffer, or they will suffer, definitely, but in the end they will die, and death is unconsciousness. But I think the smoke goes up forever and ever in that there's eternal consequence to that. This is the future they have missed. We are going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. We really are. We're going to live forever. And yet, these people are not going to. And in a way, the awareness of those wicked people and the future that they missed is going to be there forever and ever. That this one or that one, Johnny or Sally or Ludmilla or whoever, could have been in God's kingdom, but she was not. She is not here. That somehow that will be remembered forever and ever. How awful is that? How sad is that? But we will be there. We will live forever with each other and above all with God and with Jesus if we follow him and are faithful to him, and if we've got his mark in our hearts, if in our heart of hearts we love him and we are for him and we do not have the mark in our hearts of this world or the beast or whatever system it's going to be that dominates the world in the last days. This calls for patient endurance by God's saints, those who obey God's commandments and who are faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are those who die in the faith and in the patience of their Lord. Now it seems that some will die. Some believers will die in the last day. As we saw, the two witnesses, they will die and be resurrected. Yes, says the Spirit, they shall rest from their labours, and the fruits of their work will go after them. In other words, what they did, giving their lives, will be remembered forever. Then I looked, and there was a white cloud, and sitting upon the cloud was what appeared to be the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. That's what you use for reaping a harvest. Then another angel came out from the temple and cried out in a loud voice to the one who sat upon the cloud, put in your sickle and reap the harvest, because the time has come to reap the harvest of the earth. So there will come a time when the wickedness of this world is such that Jesus is going to judge it. At the moment, it seems that people get away with everything and anything, and God doesn't notice. He does notice, but he is delaying. He's giving them a chance and he's giving us a chance. But the time will come when he is going to judge them. Then the one who sat upon the cloud swung his sickle upon the earth, and the harvest of the earth was reaped. And I saw another angel come out of the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, who was the angel who had power over the fire, came from the altar, and he cried with a loud voice to the angel who had the sharp sickle, put in your sickle and cut out the grapes from the vineyard of the earth, because the grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle upon the earth and cut out the grapes from the vine and threw them into the winepress of God's wrath. The grapes were trodden out in the winepress outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress in a flood around 300 kilometers long and nearly 2 meters deep. Well, it's reckoned that that length of 300 kilometers is the length of the land from Dan to Beersheba, the land of Israel. And that's why I suggest that this reaping of the harvest of the earth is the land. This is talking about what is going to go on specifically in the land of Israel in the last days.